Welcome to another episode of Toad's Country. Jason Cross back in Vegas. What's up, dude?
Good to be here, man.
Dude, it's been a while.
It's been, was it last February?
I think so.
Dude, at least they all just blend.
It goes fast.
I feel like I've only been in Nashville for like a year and it's been triple that, so that's pretty wild.
You've only been there 3 years?
Three and a half, which isn't long in retrospect.
No, because really. Most people you talk to, it's 8, 9, 10 year town.
10 year town.
Yeah,
that's not a bad thing. I don't have 10 years, so we're going to have to.
I think you're doing just fine.
Thanks, man.
I always like to go back to how we met.
Yeah.
North Carolina.
That's right.
I flew out for a Dylan Carmichael fundraiser for Brian Russell Collins's sister? Mom.
Sister. Lisa, yeah.
That's right, Lisa.
She passed, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so did Mom.
Yep.
Yeah, don't even know what to say to any of that, but
I just talked to him.
Yeah,
not to get too off subject, but real quick, I just talked to him. He's doing really good.
He is. I talked to him a lot. He actually wrote me yesterday and said, Jason says if he doesn't have dinner with you, he's going to be pissed.
I did, for sure, dude.
I was like, I already talked to him, dude. I got to show you the text.
I know Toad resigned, but like that's part of the deal, okay? So
it says it right here on the paperwork.
I signed it.
You signed it. That's exactly what it says. But that was fun, man. I got to see a show, and I remember just pulling out the calendar going, hey, these are my open dates. Do you have any of these available? And you were just like, dude, seriously?
It's pumped.
And it's kind of funny when I go back and I talk about like how Clayton Shea got in. I just was playing golf online. I want to say Dean got me on there.
Yep.
And that's how I met Clayton. That's I got closer with Rotundo on there because I knew him from after Midtown. But
it's
just kind
funny
of fun.
how video games is such a huge connection hub in the music industry.
It's communication, man. It really is. It gives you, well, it's funny because Clayton was like, dude, open up your phone and look up this email address. And there was like 3 years of emails from Blue Tick. And I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. He goes, no, don't be sorry. I'm just telling you that, hey, man, we're going to play more golf.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's kind of funny, man. I met some good people through there. Got to hang out with some fun people online. I have a great story with Michael Ray. He popped in one day. He showed up at Rotundo's house.
Michael Ray's a great dude.
Yeah, I love him.
I actually met him like first week in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I'm a little embarrassed about this, but when we were, I didn't know who he was. I just didn't. I don't know. Sometimes,
he's Mike Ray.
Yeah. And I was, I think it was just kind of a thing where I didn't expect to meet people like that right away, you know? And he was just there. And I was like, hey, what was your name again, man? He's like, Michael. And I was like, oh, right on, man. We should write sometime. Like, he gave me his number.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. I was like, what's your last name? He's like, Ray. And I was like, sweet. Nice to meet you, dude. And that was it. And then he walks away, and my buddy who introduced me is like, dude, that was Michael Ray. And I was like, yeah, no, I just. It's Michael Ray. He's just told me.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, no, no.
That
like,
is.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think really part of it was just he was such a cool, down-to-earth dude.
Right.
He didn't think anything of himself. And for me being so green, when I came to town, I kind of expected people to, like bigger people of status to, you know, be like, look at me. But most people are not.
No, I think it's the one genre out there where they're not. You're not competing with each other, per se. You're all championing each other.
For sure.
That's something that I've talked about for many years. Was this my favorite genre of music? I've been a part of just about everything. I've done shows with every genre, and my favorite one so far has been the country world, because it's literally you go back and everyone champions them, each other. Like you don't have to ask your friends when you drop a single like Mud and ask them to go out and repost it. They do it for you.
For sure.
It's organic and they love you for it. And
man, it was really cool too. Especially on that release, there were some people, you know, some bigger artists that I'm friends with that was kind of the first time that they did kind of share some stuff and comment and whatever. And it's like, I think it just kind of, for me, was like, I had a lot of people say, man, I think you found your sound. I think you did it. Like, this is the most genuine sound of a song that you've put out. Like, this is you. And I was like, that's a really good compliment, you know, because I think I feel the same way, but you're always, even if you say you're not, you're always seeking a little bit of validation.
Sure.
With the music that you put out. Because, I mean, naturally, it's like, of course, you want to be like, oh, I just do it for the art, man. I love it. And it's like, some people do that, and that's great, but like, to be honest.
That's a different genre.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. I mean, it is what it is. You're always going to look for a little bit of validation. It's just to what level, you know? And it's like, I've always been, if I love it, I'm going to put it out. And if other people love it, cool. But this was kind of like the first time that I got real genuine reactions,
and it felt good.
It felt really good.
Where did that song come from?
So I wrote that with a couple buddies of mine, Cody Garrett and Sam Johnson. I don't know, probably be a year and a half ago or so, maybe about 2 years ago. And Sam actually passed, unfortunately, this past summer. he had some medical complications, and it was super sad, but it was the last song that I wrote with him. So that was kind of, you know, in a way, a really special thing, you know, to be able to put that song out. And I already knew I was already going to.
Right.
And then it happened, and it was like, okay, well, definitely going to now. And, you know, it was just Cody came up with the idea. He's like, man, I get it out the mud. And I was like, okay, what are we talking about? Like we're going mudding in the truck, and we got to get it unstuck. And I was like, that's a little redneck for me, you know? But
too,
like,
yeah, mullet and all, too redneck.
You know what I mean, yeah. Right? It's just like, I wanted it to be a little more like, have a little more meaning to it, right? And
sure.
He's like, no, like, in life, if you get stuck in life and, like, things get tough, like, you know, you get it out the mud, it's a metaphor.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, well, I like that. We can do that. And I think we started it that day, and Cody and I kind of finished it. We went back and forth just, like, texting each other lyrics, like, throughout the next couple weeks. And then I went and got a demo made probably a couple months later. Shout out Ben Scala, and got it back, and I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is exactly the kind of music I want to make. And I think that's just a big part of, there are other artists that come to Nashville, they spend a few years there writing and whatever, and they don't put out music. They kind of spend that time, like, honing their sound and
sure.
figuring it out before they do. For me, I was like, okay, I'm 28 years old, I'm coming to town, I got a song that I like, I'm going to put it out and just see what happens, you know? It's like, kind of wanted to have something out there that people could listen to and get an idea of, like, where I'm at. But it's been, like, not a rebranding, but more of an evolution.
Sure. Well, I think there's growth with everything. I always like to ask the question of artists like Scott Stevens. He had a song when I found out about him called Back. It's yeah. nowhere to be found. You can only find it on YouTube now, sort of thing. And I'm like, I love that song. And he's like, well, the story of where it came from and the producers and the writers and all this other kind of stuff. And there was another song that came out, same group, very similar song, different artist. And I was like, I get that, but still, that's the best part, is to watch someone grow.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I go back and listen to my first podcast, and I just laugh at myself.
Yeah,
I mean, I laugh at these too, but still, I just...
My girlfriend actually just recently asked me if I would ever... It Ain't Me was my first single.
Yeah.
And she asked me if I would ever, like, take that off. And I was like, I don't think so. And she's like, yeah, I don't think you should either. I was just curious. And I was like, you know, because it's not like a... Some people do. Some people take their old stuff off, and they might have, like, a total rebrand. Like, it doesn't even... Honestly, Royal Lynn is a great example of that.
Sure, yeah.
She's really found her groove in the rock world, and, like, sick. Her old stuff was very, like, Western country,
super
which is
country,
also,
yeah.
like, a part of her, too, you know? So it's cool, but I think I would just, you know, I'll leave everything I've done on there. It's like a story, right, of the journey.
Those
much.
Are chapters, man.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny, like, with Royal, I love that girl.
Yeah, she's great.
I got a text message from Scotty Mack saying I needed to check her out. Needed to book her, and her first show was country for the most part,
for sure.
And then
Howdy,
what's that?
Howdy,
yeah, I loved
a
it.
Song called Howdy, yeah.
And then
it was
she,
great.
I can't even think right now because that's not where I was. My brain is, I'm like, I can see where she's sitting on the back of a truck. That was another song that she had, and I just like I loved her music, but I love her music now because it's true to who she is,
mm-hmm.
and she comes to town, and I just get a text message. Just, hey, man, let's go grab a bagel, go grab coffee or something like that. And
for
I
sure.
enjoy just kicking it with her, just seeing where her journey's going. She was in town for a couple months ago for some sort of rock award thing.
She's popping off.
Dude.
I mean,
she's got a new duet out. Like, she's doing all kinds of cool stuff that I'm loving for her because it's what she does. And
yep.
I think that's good for you, too. I mean, the end of the day is that's what this whole music journey's about, right?
Absolutely.
It's growing and... Sharing what you feel, sharing what you're learning, sharing what your life is.
Yeah.
We talked about this once before, but we're going to refresh ourselves. You are kind of world famous, but people really don't realize it.
For sure.
You had I don't know if it was a video, but it was just a picture, I believe.
Yeah.
Jet ski
it was
photo.
A meme.
And where'd that come from, dude? I'm going to post it in this. It'll be a little pop up. It's right there. But yeah. So I can do that.
Yeah. Sweet.
But
that's really cool.
Where, I mean, that story's got to be just.
Dude, honestly, it's so simple. I bought this jet ski. Okay, my best friend from back home, his dad always had these two, like, 90s jet skis, right, that we would heat in high school. He'd let us take them, and we'd hit this little lake called Lime Lake, and we'd tear them up and go tubing or whatever. And they hadn't been – they'd been sitting in the bottom of this barn for, like, I don't know, half a decade,
right.
just collecting dust. And I was like – I got to the point – I think I was – what it was, oh, it was COVID, it was 2020. So I was like, you know, I had a really, I had two jobs that I loved when I was cutting hair and selling cars with my mom and dad and the salon of my grandparents, doing really well. I'm like buying up all these toys and having a good time. And I hit him up and I was like, what are you going to do with those jet skis? Cause I'll buy them from you. And so he sold them to me. The one that is in the picture, I had to do some work to it. I think I spent like 2 weeks on it, just tinkering with it here and there. Like, it was a triple, clean, rebuilt all the carbs, like did the valves, whatever, got it running. I was so proud of it, dude. And I got it in the water, and the first day I had it in there. Oh, and then I found the Speedo on Shinesty. Shout out Shinesty. Unpaid plug there. Holler. But they had, that's where I get all my Speedos from. And I was checking it out. They had that like 90s Dixie cup. Right. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's perfect.
So me.
Yeah. And the colors matched the jet ski. I'm like, oh, we're absolutely burning it down this summer. So I bought the Speedo, got it in the mail. First day jet ski in the water. We're at the sandbar and I handed my cousin's wife my phone and I was like, hey, Emily, take some pictures. I'm about to break the internet. And I was just fucking around.
Yeah.
And so she snapped a few shots, and I was like, cool. I posted them, like, four pictures on my Instagram and Facebook. Facebook is where it popped off. So this is on a Thursday. And 2 days later, on a Saturday, I was at a golf outing. And another one of my buddy's girlfriends texted me, and she's like, oh, my gosh, Jason, that post is so funny. Like, and it's like, really popping off. And I think I was, like, just over, like, 1,000 likes on Instagram. And at the time, I had, like, 4,000 followers. So that was really good, right?
Huge.
And I was like, oh, yeah, it's doing pretty well. She's like, no, like, it's going viral, like viral. Like, have you seen Facebook? And I was like, no. And I look, and my post was at, like, 18,000 shares. And then every, like, 5 minutes, dude, it was just, like, thousands. And I think it made it up to, like, 80,000 shares. And
so
then somebody
nuts.
Took it and made a meme out of it.
Yeah.
Said, when I finally get me a jet ski, just simple as can be. And it's just me, just post it up, right? Just all over Instagram, all over Twitter, like everywhere.
I want to say that I kind of knew who you were from Dean and everybody. And I think the videos of you guys just having a good time in Vegas and a good time in Nashville and a good time just being boys or whatever. And then I saw that picture and I didn't even put two and two together until later. Yeah, I saw the meme.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what I saw. And then yeah. I don't think I put two and two together till later. And I was like, holy shit.
The only thing, I was like, man, how am I getting paid for this? I got to monetize this somehow. So I made T-shirts, and it's my top seller. So.
Is it really?
Yeah. And when people see it, you know, they're like, no way that's you. I'm like, I swear to you. Like, yeah,
do you sell it on the road?
Yeah, I got them with me. Yeah, I'll have to give you one when we get back to Stoney's.
I'm not going in that place.
Yeah. No, I'll come. I'll bring it out. I'll bring out the back door for you.
That's pretty funny. How did you get Dalton to come out with you?
So Dalton and I have been buddies since I moved to Nashville. I met him through Chase Butler lived with him. Chase was I met on the Brantley cruise before I even moved to Nashville, so he was like one of my first connects.
Chase used to be with Tyler Braden.
Yeah, he's that's right. Ella him. Langley now.
Yeah,
yeah, and she's doing big things. But
I just before I left, I booked a show with them too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Dalton, I've known. I've had him play. I don't think I've had him on. This is my first time having him on the road with me. Because he's been with like Drew Green Sean Stemmley. Yeah.
So I met him. I think I met him through Stemmley
for sure.
And then I had him back out. Drew Green played two shows for me. Drew was just here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, that's right. I was cutting his hair before he was coming.
That's
here.
What he told me.
Yeah. Yeah. Drew's great, man. I love that guy. But it's pretty cool that because I brought Dean last time, which he'd come with a bunch of people, right?
Austin
Burke.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of cool that just a little inner circle, you know. You probably see the same people every
most
now and
of the time,
again.
And when they come back, yeah, there's a couple bass players that I see a lot of,
yeah,
and it's kind of a neat thing. I'm not mad at it.
Corey England is with us. It's my first time playing with him, so we'll see. He's great.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either. I mean, I do now. I just met him for the first time.
Did Dalton bring him?
Wednesday.
Or is it someone you found?
I can't remember who referred him to me, but he's like a mega bass player. He's really,
oh, awesome.
Really good. So we played last night at Old Red, and he played with us Tuesday back in town in Nashville.
Just tell Dean he sucks.
So it should be a good show. Man, I miss Dean. So Zan Frett is actually who's playing with me. He's like my number one bass guy right now, and he's a monster. And his stage presence is, he's got the whole vibe. He's a killer singer. But him and Dean are like the boys, man. Like, yeah. If I could have Dean out on the road whenever Zan can't go, gosh, dude.
But Dean's not traveling too much.
He's not. I don't think he is at all, unless it's like the right scenario. You know, if it was with me, like just, because
well, I think
boys.
That was our deal last time, kind of as a joke was. Yeah, you can play, yeah. but Dean's got to come with you.
For sure.
I mean, I didn't mean that. I did, but I didn't.
Yeah. No, he knows he meant it for sure. That's why he's here. But he, I mean, he was pretty much off the road when he came with me last year.
Right.
You know, but that was the scenario. I was like, boys are going to Vegas. Like, we're going to have a good time. It's Toad, Stoney's, come on.
You came in early this time, too.
Yeah, we came in. So they just built the Old Red, and we play at the one in Nashville every now and again. So
that was easy? You just made a phone call, and they were like, cool, let's do it?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty rad.
It was great.
I know Scotty Mack was just out here, and he played for a week, I think, while he was out here. That's
nope.
nuts.
I'm not doing it.
No, that's a lot.
I'm there right now. I mean, this will be my fourth show of the week, and tomorrow will be the fifth. And especially in this like dry desert air, dude, my voice just gets
yeah. That's
torn
what's rough
up.
About this town, man. It is a different heat. That's mm-hmm. for damn sure. Yeah. Did you bring your Speedos?
I didn't.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm disappointed.
I'm kinda,
not that I wanted to see you in them, but I'm just disappointed you came to Vegas.
I think I meant
and,
to. And you know, out of all the things I got to remember to bring, I guess that was. That's probably the best one I could have forgotten.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. What's next for you, man? What do you got going on? I know you just dropped Mud. You got some more singles coming? Or
yeah, so when's this episode coming out?
A couple weeks.
Okay, cool. June 7th, surprise drop. I'm not telling anybody about it. So
I'll drop this tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. June 7th, we're dropping an acoustic EP. I covered Till It Does and Routine Town, two of my singles that I put out within the last year. And we also did a cover of Plush by Stone Temple Pilots. It's really cool. I got like full-blown video to put on YouTube with it. We like rented out this warehouse and did lit a bunch of candles, made it very like MTV.
For Plush or for all of them?
For all of them.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like a session, you know.
Oh, that's bad.
And so that'll be out June 7th. And I'm not really advertising it. I'm just going to drop it and
see what happens.
Yeah, and just push
why would you do
it
that way?
After. You know, because I think it's just I've always kind of wanted to try that. People get annoyed, I think, of when you're like really pushing something for a long time. It works.
The tease.
The tease.
I don't. I get it if you're trying to test a song, whether or not you're going to record it. I guess I understand that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other side of it, I'm not.
So I'll say pushing it beforehand to get pre-saves that's primarily why you're promoting a song before it releases.
Do you make money off of pre-saves?
The more pre-saves you have, the better chance you have of getting playlisted.
Okay.
So Mud actually is my first song to get on a curated playlist, a Spotify playlist. It got on the New Music Friday Country.
Right.
And, dude, that my total monthly listeners are, like, double the highest they've ever been.
That's pretty cool.
Really, really cool.
It's
and
amazing
I know it came from that, so.
It's amazing to think what a playlist will do.
For sure. So that's the important thing. This, it's just other versions of my songs I already have out, so
sure.
I'm not going to push for pre-saves. It's not going to, you know. It is what it is. I'm just putting it out there because it's cool. It's a different way to listen to it. It's kind of a treat for my fans and followers and stuff. So
right.
I'm just figuring, okay, instead of like pushing it so hard we annoy people and they just scroll past my stuff, we'll wait till it drops, then announce it, have everybody rush to see what it's all about.
Because then it's available. I hate that.
Exactly.
I hate that idea of, hey, this one comes out in 2 weeks. Like, shit, I forgot the next day.
I know.
Like, let me go get it right now.
It's all about them pre-saves, man.
But I don't.
Then you get to a point where they don't matter because you're Hardy or whatever.
Who's
and
that?
Then, yeah. And then you can be like, oh, this drops at midnight. It's like, ooh, everybody just rushes right to it, right? So, but, you know, as for us little guys, we just kind of got to do what we got to do. But
I think I'd love to see Royal's career do what Hardy's did. I think that would be pretty badass because, like, people had no clue who Hardy was.
What
as a writer.
What about mine, dude?
Huh?
What about mine?
Yours?
Yeah.
Well, you haven't completely changed like Royal did and like Hardy did.
True.
I mean, you look at their music and what they put out and then what they are doing today is a total opposite.
For sure.
I believe. Now, I'm not mad at any of it.
Nope.
I absolutely love it. I think that I have friends that my buddy Lee wrote me this afternoon and he was like, dude, he goes, I don't listen to country, but I really like Hardy. And I'm like, bro, he's not country. Like, I wouldn't consider him country. He's
this latest stuff. No.
No. His original like stuff that he dropped and he came out with. Yeah. The Waiting Truck kind of stuff and Rednecker and all that for sure. But yeah, I mean, it's no different than Royal. I would love to see her explode the same way. I think that'd be freaking cool.
Absolutely.
Shit. I think everybody deserves that opportunity to do what they love to do and make a living at it.
Absolutely, man. It's great. I think I'm kind of just at this point with like Mud and what I've got coming the rest of this year, I'm really stretching the boundaries. You know, I think what happens is I've got a single I'm in the studio on right now. I've got one that's done. It's actually going to master, but I'm saving it. It's not really a summer vibe song. I'm saving it for the fall. So kind of being strategic with it. It was going to be my next release. And I was like, man, we're looking at like a July release right now for the next like full production single.
Right.
And it's just not, I need to have, got to have them summer vibe, you know, sure. that type of song. So we're working on that one right now. Hopefully looking for a July 5th release. And then trying to stay on that every 6 week. If you can stay on that every 5 to 6 week release, that kind of gets you in an algorithm on Spotify and iTunes, just like social media. So, you know, it'll boost your monthly listeners. It'll boost the people that are here.
What are you up to right now, monthly listeners?
I think I'm at 38 today.
It's pretty rad. 38,000.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool because I'm
independent.
The most of, yeah. Yep,
totally. You got management now?
Nope.
Nothing.
My girlfriend. She's my unpaid assistant. She likes to call herself.
Did you say she went to college?
She went to college, yeah. She's an accountant. So.
Oh, right on. So that kind of works.
It does work really well because she kind of takes care of all the dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and she likes it, which is nice. She keeps me organized and kind of like helps with answering emails and getting back to people on Messenger and just the little stuff that I, you know, kind of miss here and there. Like she's picking up the pieces. So
that's pretty neat. So let's talk goals for the rest of the year. You've got this acoustic EP that's not dropping, but is dropping.
Yeah,
I love that idea of the video thing because I've learned from this. I dropped Sam's and I think he was my first video. It was, and it's got 2,100 views. But the podcasts still do great through Spotify, iTunes, and on the website.
Yeah.
Like I'm 30, 40, 50,000 listeners every time I drop one. They're just waiting for them, which to me is, I'm humbled by it. I think it's the neatest thing. But if I could turn this into a video thing where people, like I really didn't tell anyone I was doing, I just dropped it and there it went. You know, it's kind of like one of those things. And I was surprised that 2,000 people watched it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
cool.
That's pretty neat. To me, he's pretty much an independent artist, too. But I like that idea of stuff. So let's move past that and go. You got a couple more singles dropping that, you know, every 5-6 weeks. What else? Are we going back out on the road?
We are. We're on the road quite a bit this summer. A lot of festivals, actually. We have got quite a few in August. August, we're gone like every weekend. We're out to Oregon the first weekend. We'll be back up in Michigan the second. The third, I think we're in North Dakota. With a little bit of Iowa in there on the way, trying to get a Minnesota in there too. We've got Maryland, we've got Washington State. So we're kind of all over the place right now.
What's your favorite coast so far to play in?
Man, honestly.
Like for the fan, the experience, the everything. Like where are the people following you the most right now?
Midwest.
Yeah,
I would say probably.
Because that's kind of where you're from?
Michigan, yeah.
Yeah.
Every time we go to Michigan, it's great. I mean, we've got a show coming up in a couple weeks here in June. I think it's like just over a 300-cap room that we sold out in like the first 3 days.
That's pretty rad.
So that was cool. Yeah, it was really neat. And it's actually a little bit outside. It's close to my hometown, but it's a little bit outside. So hopefully, I think I'm noticing that like people that I don't know or that I didn't know before that are in Michigan are fans of mine. You know, that aren't just like my friends and family and people that I've known forever. So it's really cool to kind of see that like branch out and see that it's just like, oh, you just have like fans. Like there's actually just fans of my music that are coming to see me at these shows now. And that's really cool.
You're doing all the booking yourself or did you didn't sign with anybody to help you book?
No.
How do you get on a festival as an independent?
Dude, just pure connects. Yeah, man. Just pure connections. It's just, I just love, I'm really personable.
Yep.
And I just love getting to know people, and that's one of the most important things, I think, in the industry is just getting yourself out there. And
I think you got to get yourself out there and be true to who you are.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Genuine.
Totally, yep. And I think that's why I watched your show. Brian spoke very highly of you, and then just getting to know you in that short amount of time, it was like, man, I need to do this. Like, I love opening doors and creating opportunities and getting to know people, too. It's rad.
Well, you know, and people are more apt to open doors for you if they like who you are and they can tell that you're genuine and you got good intentions. And, you know, I think for me, it's just kind of a natural thing. I never really think twice about it. It's just who I am. And
it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a blessing.
I went out to my first show after about 10 years. Every Friday night, I was at the same place. And a couple weeks ago, I went out to go see Russell Dickerson.
Sweet.
And didn't even know it at the time when I was going to go that Tyler Rich was opening for him.
Nice.
And Tyler and I have some great history with the industry. And working on shows and doing some stuff together. And it was pretty freaking cool to get back out. And I haven't seen Russell since 2017. And the welcome that I got from him was pretty badass.
Was that
badass.
When he played Stoney's?
No, he played Red Rock here.
Oh, the casino. In 2017?
No. He played Stoney's then, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, 2017. Yes. Last time I saw him was at Stoney's.
Yep,
he
yep.
played for me 7 times, dude. 7. What? First time, 250 people. And the last 2 times he played, he sold out.
Wow.
So it's funny. His second to the last show, he's on stage about his first or second song, and I grab his wife, Kaylee. I'm like, you need to walk with me real quick. And she goes, I'm not going anywhere. And I'm like, you're walking with me. And I walked out the door that you came out today. And the line was still all the way to where Kabuki is.
Whoa.
To get in, and we were already sold out.
Whoa.
Head of security came up to me. He's like, dude, we're at 1250. What do I do? I said, one goes out, one comes in. He goes, but I go, one comes out, one comes in. I don't know what to tell these people. Like, what am I supposed to do? We stopped the show. It was our goal. And he pulled me up on stage, gave me a hug, and it was like one of those things. Well, the next show, the same thing happened, and we walked outside, and she shit her pants again. It was like, this is nuts. Like, because yours barely hit radio, and we were doing this. I was telling Sam Groh that is the blueprint of this market, is to play, be human, go out after your show and talk to these people and let them know.
It's my favorite thing to do, man.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of artists don't.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them that don't.
And it's a bummer because the end of the day is like, you got to treat people like they're human, but you also have to be human as well.
Yeah.
And that's the neatest thing. Well, Tyler came out and he played ACMs, and we tried for 2 years to get him to come back. And someone in his group just kept saying no, no, no. And well, I know his guitar player Joe, and like we had all these conversations, and I ran into him up in Utah, Joe and Tyler, and we just did the deal and we turned it in, and booking fought back.
Yeah.
And they ended up doing the show. And I said, listen, man, I can't give you this, but I can get you to this. Let's play together. And that's when we started doing back ends and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Was kind of built around, I mean, I was doing them, but not to that level, but with Tyler Rich's show. And then we sold it out. His second time playing, we sold it out.
Yeah,
and when it sold out, I went to the bar. I got him a shot of Four Roses, and he calls it the Four Finger Shot because it wasn't a shot.
It was a big one, yeah.
It was a big one, yeah.
A gulper.
And so he sipped on it, and the crowd was like literally yelling at him to chug it. So I got up there. I handed him the drink. I said, we sold it out, dude. We did it. And both of us put our middle fingers up because it was kind of like one of those things where, hey, Nashville, we know what we're doing.
Yes.
Like the teamwork worked.
It was you know, he like dropped everybody.
Yeah.
He's starting fresh.
Good for him.
I'm so pumped for him.
I was just with him. And he told this story to everybody that was backstage that was hanging out. And they're like, that's Toad? That's him? Like, that's the guy? Because all these people that he was with were his friends. And the following night, he went and played like Boots in the Park in San Diego. And I got 4 phone calls that day, all of them saying, what did you do to him? Like, we just sold out a show. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
He was still drunk.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure.
He was, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Shout out.
That would have been too.
Huh?
That would have been too.
Yeah, it was bad. But that's...
It's good bad.
It was good bad. That's the goal, though. The end of the day is that's what you want to do. He'll never forget that. I mean, he's still talking about it 2-3 years later, which me is kind of like... It's a feather in my cap for what I like to do. And that's the goal is... That's why I do these, so people can get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
For sure. Yeah, it helps. It's massive. That's one of the things I think with social media that I need to work on is... just kind of connecting with the audience. It's so stupid, dude, because it's so necessary, and I understand, and it's like I've been promoting my music. It's been going really well, actually. My social media has just like been taken off, and it's super cool, but I'm missing one little factor, and I think it's the whole connecting with the audience over, but I'm staring at my phone, dude. I'm taking a video into my phone trying to connect. You put me in a situation like this, or you put me right in face to face to people, that's where I thrive.
Sure.
For some people, they're just naturals, man. They can get in front of their phone and you can feel like they're talking to you. It's so personal, and it's like I have a really hard time with that.
It's difficult because, I mean, I remember when Country AF Radio first started and we were doing a lot of video stuff to kind of push it. And I was pushing my afternoons because I was on from 12 to 5 every day.
Yeah.
And it was kind of one of those things that I was all about new music. Still am. That's what I'll always be about. But the idea was, how can I talk into my phone to get people to listen? And I'm just like sitting there at my house, and I was fortunate enough to have this cool barnwood wall behind me that it looked like I was fitting the part. But then I was just like, man, I feel like an idiot because I'm just, who the fuck is going to watch this and just be like, dude, he's for reals.
It's man. And some people see right through it, and they'll talk a bunch of shit and you know, call you everything in the book. And
sure.
I've been, it's kind of funny because I haven't experienced my first real taste of like internet hate. And dude, for me, it was like, oh no, like I really like, I want people to, you know, say good things. Like I don't want them to say these kind of, and I mean, it was like bad. Like somebody said, somebody give this guy some fentanyl. Like, I mean, some really,
no way.
Swear to God, like awful, awful.
You should have responded with, hell yeah, I like to party.
Yeah, dude. How'd you know? That's my favorite.
just a little
that's
bit.
That's actually how you need to respond to yeah. him though. And it's like, it took me a second to kind of get used to, it's a good thing when people are hating on you like that. Cause guess
still
what?
Talking.
Guess what? That gave me over 4,000 followers on Instagram, that post that everybody was hating on.
Yeah.
And the people that are hating on it, they're not going to be there on the next post. The people that are loving it will. You know what I'm saying?
It's growth.
It is. And it's like, if they're not hating, you're not doing it right.
You know Cody Hibbard?
Yeah.
He just posted something today about something very similar to that. He's like, I'm fighting every day. I mean, who's the only other Asian guy you know in country music?
Yep.
I mean,
for sure, man.
He's got an uphill battle. But, dude, he's as country as they get. When you sit down and talk to him, he's just a regular dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That grew up in the oil fields. Like, he
Texas,
was a laborer.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, he was a laborer, dude. And I think that stuff's neat. Like, people just judge a book by its cover. And that's kind of the goal, is to let people know who you are, right? And,
right.
Like, what makes you tick and where you came from. And that's pretty funny. The internet has given this guy some fentanyl. Well, I need to pay
Isn't
more attention
wild?
To your shit, dude.
I mean, it's one thing to say, like, the song sucks. This is garbage. Right. You should never release music again. That kind of stuff. It's
right.
Like, all right, you know, not everybody's going to love it.
Well,
I get that.
I mean,
it's like
not everyone
cool.
loves Taylor Swift. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
people do, but
it's
I mean,
all good.
I mean, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was actually, it was kind of just, for me, it was, I had to be like, oh no, it's okay. Like this is a good thing,
yeah.
You know. Because guess what? That reel's sitting at over 400,000 views right now because of that. It's like, hey, call me gay again.
Yeah,
like, you
please
know?
Three
yeah,
more times.
Keep it coming. Yeah, I love it.
I posted the Sam Groh post, and someone wrote who, and I was like, you should check it out, get to know him. And he's like, pass. And I'm like, dude, way to have an open mind. Pass, dude. Is that all you're here for? Pass. Maybe you'll catch it if someone passes. I don't know what the fuck to say. Like, yeah. Jesus Christ, dude. Like, what, like, when you have that much free time to do something like that.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're just sad.
Yeah.
They're just sad people.
And,
man.
Like, what do you say to those people and still look like the hero? You don't. You
right.
just kind of like.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty good at it. I'm
yeah.
pretty good at it. Yeah. I had a guy say something about how I was dressing up, because Mud is a very, like, pointing to, like, the blue collar, hardworking. You know,
sure.
class.
Yep.
And because it's something I've never had a full time job doing anything like that, but I've always been a hands on guy. I mean, I worked with cars with my dad. You know, we'd wrench on them. I wasn't a mechanic, but I worked on cars. You yep. know what I'm saying? And like, I've done roofing. I've done you know, landscaping and whatever. I've poured concrete. Like, I know what it's like. I don't do it full time because I'm doing this, obviously.
Because I don't want
Hello?
To.
Yeah, that too. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
I don't have to, which yeah. is just a blessing. But for the guys that do, it's like, thanks. Somebody's got to do it.
Sure.
Appreciate your hard work, man. Here's an anthem for you. And that's how I replied to that dude that was like calling me out for being a princess and like dressing up like them, pretending. And I was like, no, man, this song's for you. Like, this is an anthem for you guys. And you don't have to like the song, but I'll always support what you guys do.
Sure, absolutely.
And answering it like that, actually, a couple people were like, damn, dude, mad respect for that. I was like, yeah, what's the point of, like, getting all your panties in a bunch and, like, starting to fight? Like, what? For what?
Keyboard.
That's what he wants. That's what they
yeah.
want.
I think they're just looking for an engagement
yeah.
or some sort of thing, mm-hmm. which maybe bored. People just have too much free time, dude.
But, hey, to all the haters, bring it, man. Keep it coming because it's just boosting my shit.
Oh, yeah, let's talk fentanyl. Oh. No, we're not doing that anymore?
For sure. Yeah, no, I haven't done that in a while, so trying to kick it. Bad habit.
Give me an artist that you'd love to go on the road with and learn from. Tutelage.
Love the Lakeview Boys. That'd be great.
Those guys are kind of changing as well. Like, they're a little bit heavier.
You know what I didn't realize is their earliest stuff. I hadn't heard any of their earlier stuff. I think, like, Loser was, like, their first song when I started kind of paying attention to what they were putting out. Our relationship's pretty fresh. I mean, we met probably a couple years ago now, but I hadn't heard. I think I threw on like Lakeview Radio not too long ago, and some of their earlier stuff was playing, and I was like, "Oh, okay, I see like the transition here." In a way, I mean, I think it's pretty true. It's more of an evolution than a
yep.
than a brand change, because they've always been about the hard stuff. I think they're just like settling into what they wanted to be doing all along, which is like what most of us do. I feel like when you first come to Nashville, you have this box. Naturally, you go, okay, I like this music, but you got to keep it in this little box here so that it plays on the radio, you know? And it's really cool to get outside of that. And I think a lot more people are doing it because you can, because you have social media and you have...
It's not just radio that's your outlet.
You have the means to get it out there and get it to people. And it's kind of cool to see all of the different flavors that are happening because of that.
You think back, let's just go like way back. I remember there was an artist, Tech N9ne. I don't know if you know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
But that dude toured with, and Papa Roach did the same thing. They just had cassette tapes in the back of their car, and they would just go play little shithole venues and just hand out their stuff.
For sure.
And that's how they grew. Well, I think that tape now is Spotify and iTunes.
Yeah.
It's probably what it is, and it's just...
Well, the tape now is social media, right?
That's what I'm saying. Well, that too, but in that sense of, hey, here's my music, go listen to it here, you have that.
Right.
You're just telling the story. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, you don't have to be, like, you know, in a studio making records and to be heard anymore, which is, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. And I think the curse of it is just there's a lot of oversaturation.
Well, you have that, and then you have these artists that come out, and they get big on TikTok. They go viral on TikTok, and then they throw them on a stage, and they don't know what the hell they're doing. Craig Campbell put out that post that was pretty badass, and I've personally experienced a couple of those where an artist came through, and they got famous either from a TV show or from TikTok, and their first show, first time meeting the band, first time rehearsing with the band was on a stage where I was at. And I was like, this isn't cool.
Yeah, dude.
Like, the booking agent should be fired.
That takes time.
A lot of time. And
a lot of time. Sometimes it's natural, but for the most part, getting
that. That's sowing your oats, dude.
100%.
I used to have this thought that a Broadway musician, there was two types of bands in Nashville. The Broadway musician and the bands that are touring. And John Marks, of all people, changed my mind with all that.
Yeah.
Because we sat down and had this conversation, and he said, you know, you go to Broadway with the intention of getting out on the road, but you use Broadway to get paid, to hone your craft, and to gain fans and followers. And I was like, holy shit, I never thought about it like that. Because I've had some artists that came through that were musicians for other bands that were touring, but they played on Broadway, and then they've reached out and said, hey, man, like, can we come play there? And it was like one of those things where I'm like, sure. And I would listen to their stuff and be like, it's all right. And then they get on stage, I'd be like, yeah, no, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, dude. You know, it's crazy. We played a festival in Port Charlotte, Florida in April. And the promoter of that gig saw us play at Friends in Low Places, Garth Brooks' new bar downtown. Yep. And I mean, they like us to play original stuff too every now and again. It's mostly cover stuff. It's Broadway, you know, but for a Broadway place, they're very open. They're very about the artist, which is cool.
I had a neat conversation with Allie about all of that when she was saying that. I asked her straight out, is your dad just licensing this? And she's like, oh, hell no.
No.
You didn't watch the thing on Amazon or whatever it was on Netflix.
Did you watch it?
I didn't, not yet.
Dude, episode 6.
Yeah.
So we played the grand opening, and it's like, we're in it. Like, not just a flash or two. I was thinking, oh, yeah, we'll just, like, flash, whatever. We'll be in the background or whatever. No, it was a whole thing, dude. Like, a whole 2 minutes.
Beautiful.
Of us playing. Garth wrote a song for the bar.
Yeah.
And we performed it for Garth and Trisha. And it was, dude, it was unbelievable.
Badass.
I felt like I was in a dream.
Well, I mean, and that was kind of like where I was leaning towards that was, is this just another Broadway bar, or is it, she said, he is hands on as they get.
As they get.
Yeah. And I was like, that's so badass for guys like you that are just on their way up.
Absolutely. And it makes it, for me, it makes it so different, because I've played for bars that they don't care about your career as an artist. They just want you to commit to playing for their bar.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like, there's entertainment.
I get it. Right. I get it. It's a business. But this place is so much more than that. And it allows me to feel good about what I'm doing there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, this isn't for nothing.
Well, I guess it's that idea that when you play at other Broadway bars, you try and sneak in an original.
Right.
Here, exactly. They're actually asking you to do it.
Yeah. They're like, dude, have at it. Whatever you want. And we do. We play a lot of my, like, you know, 4 or 5 of my most popular songs we'll throw in the mix every now and again. And, you know, that promoter for the Florida festival we were playing mostly covers, but he threw us on a direct support slot for Scotty McCreery, and I was like, sick, man.
Yeah.
That's the first time that a show like that has come out of, and it was at Garth's. So that'll tell you something right there. It's you balance. Know? Yeah.
Well, I think that a lot of those people, I mean, I used to go to Nashville 2-3 times a month. I was there pre-COVID. I was there all the time. But I would go to these little listening rooms and I would go to Whiskey Jam. And that's how I'd find artists. Now, with social media, Monday nights, what am I doing? I'm sitting on my couch with my AirPods on,
listening, watching.
Yeah, seeing if something just... But that's the way to do it now.
For sure,
I will be back soon.
Good. Yeah, I will be back soon.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I want to play golf with a bunch of you guys. I still suck at it. But I got a new golf bag for my birthday, so that was kind of cool.
That'll boost your... I think it's like +4 on your power, your swing or something. New golf bag.
Not the video game. I mean in real life. You know what? I will tell you that playing that golf game has taught me a lot about clubs and distances. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing.
Well, what is it? Is it 2K that we play? So that is honest. Out of all the... I had like Tiger Woods 2009, dude. Like way back. And... this one is actually with your swing is very particular. Like you have to, your timing, the swing timing is 100%. Huge. And I was like, oh damn, they're throwing rhythm in this. Like this is getting real because when you're actually golfing, you gotta have, it's all about rhythm.
I just played Clayton last week. We played around 2 games and I was, I still get frustrated because I don't ever play. I have a little bit more free time these days, so maybe I'll start playing and then won't say anything and then just wait for him to say, hey, you want to play around? And I'll be like, yeah, and just smoke him. But,
I've been preparing for this.
Yeah, this day.
All my life.
Because, I mean, when I play with everyone in Nashville, everything is pro. Yeah. So there is no forgiveness in your swing.
No.
None. If a little too fast,
and you'll actually shank one and be like, wow, I actually do that sometimes. That's crazy.
I do that every time. I've been actually playing a lot more golf myself, real golf. I played more this year so far than I played in the last like 3 or 4 years combined.
Nice. Do they have, like, how many courses do you think they have here?
In Vegas?
Yeah. A bunch?
A lot.
Okay.
Probably, I don't know, 60?
The only one I've ever, I guess I haven't really, like, looked, but what is the Bali High?
Bali High, yeah.
Bali High?
Right down the street from Times Square.
Is that, like, a real nice one?
It's nice. No, I would say that Shadow Creek's probably the real nice
one.
I played in a tournament last month up at a private course in Summerlin, Red Rock Country Club. I played in that one. That one was... hella fun.
Dude, their water bill's got to be insane. I can't even imagine.
We're talking about a drought town, and these golf courses just...
plush.
Yeah. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
We played...
I got to bring the clubs out next time.
You should.
Yeah.
I played Paiute 2 Mondays ago for Folds of Honor tournament, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I got to play with some cool people, and...
outings are the best, man.
Yeah. I've been pushing the whiskey a lot lately, and here's what's cool about that is I've never looked at golf. I have 100 friends that play golf. Then I have this core group of friends that own businesses that play golf, and they just take vendors out. My buddy Jeff Mulholland will be the first one. He goes out almost every Friday and plays with his vendors. And I'm like, dude, it's got to get old. He's like, hell no. Like, it's business. This is what we do for business. Talk shop. Well, here I am going out with Blue Valor now all the time, and I'm going out with the buyers for these liquor stores.
Yeah, man.
And I get to know them, and it's the neatest thing in the world. Like, they're human. I'm human. They get to see what the brand's all about, and they get to see how much I suck at golf and vice versa.
I'm going to judge you on your golf game, yeah.
Well, dude, we play best ball. Like, that's what all these are, is scrambles. So the end of the day is, like, in 18 holes, I think they used 4 of my shots.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it. Cool. I'll take it.
Yeah.
But, like, we played this last one. There was a pro on one, and you had to pay $100 to beat the pro. And if you beat the pro, you get X amount of tickets. Our first two guys hit the ball, and both of them went in the water. She hit, went in the water. I hit and landed in the sand trap right in front of the green. And then we won. We won because of my shot. Yeah, so I just walked around, and the
clutch.
Pro...
you're the clutch guy, dude.
The pro was a chick. And I just watched her swing, and I was like, I want to play like that. Like, that rhythm and the pace is unreal.
Yeah.
Like, when they're a pro,
and
you sit there. I'm, like, this closer just watching her hit going, you're fucking bad. Can I get some lessons?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, she's like, if you come to Arizona.
Like, I feel like a lot of people, if you don't play golf, you really don't appreciate, like, professional golf.
Yeah.
You can't. I don't think you can. I think it's like, you go, oh, that's neat. But, like, when you actually play golf and you know how fucking hard it is, and then you watch those guys just, like... stick a 238-yard 7-iron shot, and you're just like, what?
Yeah, it's like 4 feet from the hole.
Yeah, dude.
I don't understand it. I really don't. Like, I watch some... my buddy Sparky's phenomenal golfer. Phenomenal. But I'll watch him hit the ball sometimes, and I'm like, dude, how? Like, just how? Because I'm in awe.
I know, it's
but
cool.
Then
it's really
I watch it
see.
On TV so much now that, like, you watch Scheffler hit the ball, and when he's... or any of these guys for that, and they're in their zone, and they're hitting so good, and... how do you keep doing it time and time and time again?
Dude, the amount of golf they play in a weekend in a tournament.
Well, they play all week. What, do they take a day or two off and then they're just playing?
Yeah, every day. Walking. That's
and
the
they're still fat guys doing it. I don't get it.
Crazy. How are you fat? you get so many steps in, dude.
I could only, they must eat a lot and drink a lot. John Daly, right?
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I think.
I would feel like I deserve this. I can do this. Yeah.
You have to drink the whole time. I don't think they're allowed to drink on the pro.
40,000 steps in the day. I think I can have a cheeseburger.
A double cheeseburger. Yeah.
That is some bacon on it.
Let's have some fun, man. Speaking of cheeseburgers, favorite fast food burger?
Man, okay, so we just had In-N-Out last night, but that's not it. It's not it. And I think it's got to be Culver's.
Really?
Do you know Culver's?
Yes. Well, not a fan. That's cool, man.
What about Shake Shack?
Shake Shack's good.
I like Shake Shack.
Yeah.
I don't have it much, but.
Culver's. I don't even like In-N-Out that much either, man.
How many? No. Dude, honestly, it's overrated.
It is.
It's always good. People are going to hate me for that, but dude, honestly, if I had to pick, I'm taking Shake Shack over In-N-Out all day, any day.
You ever had a Habit Burger?
No. I think I might just be a little sheltered. Maybe that's why Culver's is my...
Yeah.
But dude, I'm telling you, every time I've ever had Culver's, I mean, it's so consistent. And I'm Midwest, so they're all over the Midwest, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you had a bad Culver's experience.
Maybe
I
did.
Some people love Sonic, and I think Sonic is dog shit.
The only thing good at Sonic is tater tots. Yeah. Jeez.
I agree, dude. I've never had a good experience there. I'm like, how are they still around? Arby's?
Don't fucking hate, dude. We'll throw down right now.
Okay. Hold on. I'm coming back. A few weeks ago, I stopped by Arby's and got a bacon cheeseburger from Arby's.
Their burgers are good.
Slapped.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Joe Peters. I don't know if you know that name.
Yeah.
Bakersfield kid, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love Joe.
He came and played. And I asked him that question, and he hates Arby's. So after the show, he went home, got a card, and put a $50 gift card in and sent it and said, thanks for the show. So we joke all the time. We have this other buddy of mine, Jimmy Fries, that we all know each other, and we have this text thing going back and forth. Whenever someone goes to Arby's, we just post pictures. But Joe hates it. He's like, it's fucking disgusting. I will not eat it. I will not.
No way.
And I'm just like, dude, they got the meats, dude. Like,
I'm not against it that much, but it's like, I think for me, it's like, how are these things still popping up all over?
Yeah, I don't understand how
Arby's
Who's
eating all this Arby's?
There's nobody. You never go into Arby's and wait in line.
Never.
Not one time.
And I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I remember back home off of a busy exit right by the airport in Jackson, Michigan. There's a Meijer and there's a bunch of fast food. So it's just one of those stops, right, where they got everything.
Yep.
And they're building this new building out in front of Meijer, and it's red and white. And I'm like, oh, damn, we're getting a Chick-fil-A. Oh, shit. It's happening. And because, you know, it's like we weren't the most popular town in southern Michigan, but... I think I rolled up to it, and there was a sign on the window that says, like, now taking applications, and it said Arby's. And we had an Arby's right up the road. I'm like, who's eating all this Arby's? Yeah. Why do we have an Arby's an exit away from each other? What's happening? Town's too small for this.
I don't. There's one right around the corner from my house, and they were open till midnight. And it was like one of those things, if the band got done at a certain time, you'd be like, yeah, I can make it.
I almost say curly fries. They slap.
Yeah, I used to love their potato cakes. I don't even make those anymore.
No, I don't know.
Stupid.
I don't know about them.
Del Taco or Taco Bell?
I've never had Del Taco.
You've never had? Oh, it's West Coast.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I got to go with Taco Bell, but honestly, Taco Bell, only when I'm drunk.
Dude, so Brian ever tell you a story about... Taco Bell,
the one with the sign, the cool sign up there.
Yeah, he tell you about the drive thru there and how he got
you did,
and how he got the guy drunk in the drive thru, the guy that worked there.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, I know you tell me a story, but I can't remember the details.
He was just in town. I think he was in town with Dylan. They were playing a show somewhere else, and
yes,
him and their sound guy or merch guy were in town. And they came, and they got drunk, and he took the bottle with him, and we were going through the drive thru. He ordered $30 worth of food for himself.
Yeah,
and then
he
asked the guy in the drive-thru if he wanted a shot of whiskey. And the guy's like, hell yeah. And we got to the window, and the guy put his cup out, and Brian poured him a four-finger shot, and the dude shot it in the drive-thru. I'm like, what is going on?
He's probably
now?
On the floor like 5 minutes later.
He was young. I don't even think he was old enough to drink.
No
I'm going to say.
Dude.
It's Taco Bell, man. That shit's got to happen.
He was confident. He was the confidence in it. He was like, yeah, of course.
Hell yeah, I'll do this. Yeah. I wish I would have videotaped that, because that would have been the story for... Probably
viral.
Not. He'd have lost his job. He'd have gotten in trouble for serving a minor. Yeah, that probably wouldn't have been good.
Probably would have got like a million views, though. Anything's worth it, you know, for the gram. Yeah.
Just for the gram. That's what it is. I'd love to ask this question now. It's going to make you think for a little bit. Mount Rushmore. I want to take those four guys off there, and I want you to put four guys on there that made you who you are today as an artist and a person.
My dad, for sure. He was a huge music guy. I think a lot of most of the music that I've listened to growing up has a lot of influence on, you know, the sound that I love and the sound that I want to make. Might be a little bit obviously new age and heavier than like the rock I was listening to, but like the first concert he ever took me to was Kid Rock, and the second one was Metallica.
Boom.
So it was like, you know, that those two right there were, and he just has such an insane appreciation for music. He can sing, but he's never done it. You know, he's never like played music before. He doesn't do that, but he knows the words to like every song. He knows the history behind like when this album was made and
right.
He's
a true fan of music.
Yeah, for sure. And it's very widespread. So I give him a lot of credit for my broad, you know, love of all these genres.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, dude, Kid Rock and Metallica, the entertainment aspect that I have, the stage presence, I think really stems from those, because they were like core memories for me. And what a couple of groups to see for the first time and be influenced by, to be like, oh, this is a live concert.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's
a show
in my brain. Like, this is what it's all about. And it blew my mind. I was like, oh, I want to do this. I remember watching these guys, dude, and like picturing myself up there and literally like getting sweaty, like being nervous, just thinking about it. Like, I had like stage fright, just imagining doing what they did, but I couldn't help it. I couldn't help but imagine being in that position. So Pops is definitely up there for sure. As far as like artists and stuff go, I guess you could probably throw like Kid Rock up there.
Yep.
Yeah, because it just his entertainment factor and his stage presence.
You met him in Nashville yet?
I met him when I was 16 years old, the winter after I saw him in concert, and it was at the same place, because it's called Pine Knob. And there's a amphitheater and there's a ski hill. So in the summertime, they have concerts. Wintertime, they have the ski hill. So saw him in concert that day, turned 16 October, went snowboarding at the ski hill. And he was there bringing his son to snowboard.
It's pretty rad.
And I was like, I mean, I was 16 years old, you know, and I just saw him in concert. It was my first concert ever. And I'm like, didn't know what to do with my hands, dude. I was like, hey, are you Kid Rock? And he was like, yeah, what's up, bud? And I was like, I just wanted to come meet you and say, like, I loved your show. And he was like, cool, thanks. And I just walked away. And that was it. See you, Bob. See you, Bobby. But yeah, that's my only experience so far. I hope I meet him again. Yeah. You know, it's been 15 years, which is wild. Yeah.
Damn, a long time ago.
Isn't that crazy? I don't think you'd remember me. I look a little different.
Yeah. I'm sure you've grown. Yeah. Same mullet, but, you know.
A little bit, yeah. Can we go with two more?
Yes, sir.
I want to take a country person. I want to take a country artist.
Someone you grew up listening to that kind of like brought you to where you are today.
It's so, I mean, there's just a puddle of mud. Yeah, that's one of them for sure. I would have to say probably like Randy Houser. The first time I ever saw him in concert, I was just like blown away. I think he's like one of the most underrated vocalists in country music.
He is one of the most underrated anything in country music. He's one of those guys that if you put this couch down and put Randy right there, I'd watch him for 4 hours and not get sick. Not even get sick and tired.
And you know what? I think it's kind of cool. That's a cool answer, because I think it's kind of unexpected. I feel like when you ask that question, people will be like, oh, like Waylon Jennings and, you know, Hank Williams. It's like, man, I mean, yeah, they were around. Like, my grandpa listened to them a lot, and I'd hear them every now and again. But if I'm being 100% honest, like, my whole upbringing was rock and roll.
Right.
And my dad would have some Randy Travis on a cassette when we went hunting in the hunting truck sometimes. And, like, he would have, like, we'd have a little Travis Tritt, Alan Jackson in the mix. But it was mostly, like, Rush. And then my older cousin got me into, like, System of a Down and Linkin Park and that and Korn.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm throwing Randy on there, because the first time I ever saw him in concert, he was opening for Alan Jackson in Pittsburgh, and I went to see my cousin. And we're going to see Alan Jackson, right? Randy Houser's opening. Cool. I know a couple songs by him. Running Out of Moonlight, going out with my boots on, whatever, you know? And we show up there probably like 30 minutes into his set, and we sit down, dude. I think he played for another 30. He had an hour long set. He played for another 30 minutes, and the whole time, like, gosh damn, dude, I wish I would have seen the beginning of this show.
The first 30 minutes.
Yeah. He made me cry twice in 30 minutes. Like a Cowboy, and I think Anything Goes. He did those two. Then he played Whistlin' Dixie, and I was just like, oh my gosh. I've never heard any of these songs before. I just knew the popular ones. So I'm throwing him up there for sure, because he was...
I saw him at a private event here in town.
Yeah.
And the first time he ever played Note to Self live, acoustic, like he was up there and he just started playing it. Well, his acoustic is a electric guitar. But I listened to that song and was blown away again. Like, it just, I'm just surprised that he's not A-lister. It baffles me.
I know.
Just baffles me, because everybody loves him.
But you know what, man? Also, knowing what I know now about how you know, just seeing how shit works, I think, like, that's kind of best case. I think he did it right.
Yeah.
He's doing great. He can still go to the grocery store and shit.
Sure.
Like, not get mobbed, right? He might have some people come up and, like, want a picture or whatever, but Morgan Wallen can't go anywhere.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I would actually hate that. that's kind of like Garth Brooks always talked about how it's a blessing and a curse, right? And obviously, like, yeah, the blessing of it is just being this massive megastar and kind of just living the dream. But on the other half of that, you can't be normal anymore.
And then when you are normal, you're not human anymore. You're throwing chairs everywhere.
Dude, I don't know if that actually happened.
You don't think so?
Oh, yeah, I'm starting a conspiracy theory here.
I mean, they made a plaque that says you're not Morgan Wallen. Put the chair down.
Yeah, well, how many people talked about that? A lot.
Yeah.
Big event, right?
The dude's a PR stunt, like, 100%. Left and right.
I don't know. I didn't see any evidence, so...
It's true.
And that's a psychotic move. And I have heard that he's pretty crazy. But that is, like, for real?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I did 3 shows with that dude.
Did you really? Hell yeah.
I watched him change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
First two were cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. I mean, that's what it is. I'm looking at, like Kip Moore, Randy Houser, you know, that kind of level is, like, very appetizing.
Yeah.
I feel. Because, I mean, they're doing what they love, and they're... It's very successful, but they're not to the point where, you know, they gotta, like, hide away and they can't
right.
just live can't a normal go to Target. Life. Yeah, for sure.
I couldn't imagine not. I mean, you look at, I mean, Nate Smith's kind of close to all that level now too. I mean, mm-hmm. I watch him, but you think of like a Bailey Zimmerman, he probably can't go too many places anymore.
Real quick too.
Yeah, real
that
fast.
Happened real fast.
Yeah,
but you know, and I mean, I'm not saying that I trust God that, you know, the path that he's got me on is just one that's meant for me.
Sure.
You know, so.
It's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Give me the final guy or girl. I'm going to have some fun. This question was asked to me amongst artists, label people, and someone I threw up there was a new artist. I threw up there Jake Worthington, and they all looked at me like I was
Dude,
crazy.
Jake.
And I was like, Jake is one of those guys, I don't care what anybody says, in 10 years, I'm still going to be listening to Jake Worthington.
Absolutely.
Period. End of story. I'm going to be listening to him. He's a human. He's a cool fucking dude.
You know who else? Zach Topp. He's in that same register.
Yeah, I just started listening to him probably over the last year.
Yeah.
Don't know him though.
Solid dude.
Yeah.
Solid country gold that he's making. He's just a young kid. I mean, he's 28 years old, I think. But yeah, him and Jake, I'm big fans of theirs. They're sick. They're just like, it's so genuine.
Yep.
You know, it's so real. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of thinking like monumental people, but I actually never really thought about this. And I would,
well, you're not supposed to, that's why
what,
I get to throw it at
I
you.
Would put Hardy up there then.
Yeah.
And you know why? I'll tell you, because his writing style to me is so, I'm just like such a huge, it's so influential to me. Like when I get into a room, I'm like, what would Hardy write? Like, how would he write this?
Dude, how do you think that
Which
dude
sucks.
Thinks? How do you think he thinks though, man? It's like,
yeah,
he's written so many.
No, I'm telling you, it's kind of a curse to think like that. I try not to think like that when I get in a room sometimes, but also it's like, okay, you're not Hardy, dude. Yeah. Like this guy's got a different brain. Like,
well, that's what I'm
is,
saying. Could you just imagine what's going on in his brain? Cause you just sit back and go, he's got so many number ones and so many songs that he's been a part of. I mean, he's a Stapleton in a sense.
Essentially,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's not much difference there.
Damn, dude. You know, if I had to replace somebody, I'm giving Chris Stapleton. Even though, like, the sound that I have is nothing like his, I've just always been such a huge fan.
His story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his every time he wins an award, every single year, you just look at him and you know he's so humbled because he's like, this is just what he does.
The guy, dude, the guy is just doesn't miss.
You know, I like to tell this story. I like Carly Pearce. She's cool, whatever. I got burnt out on her.
Pierce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she got, to me, she got stuck on something and just ran with it as long as she could. Well, then she did that song with Chris Stapleton. And I was either the ACMs or the CMAs where they did it live. And We Don't Talk Anymore, that song.
Yep.
I watched the two of them and I just went, holy shitballs. Like a whole new passion for her and her music and her story and everything like that. Because, I mean, I'm Team Michael Ray. Whatever, me that. But the other side of it was when I watched that performance. Like, I didn't watch anything because I was just so sick and tired. She played a couple private events here that I went to go see, and I was just like, dude, get over it. Like, everyone has a past. Get over it. And I love whatever. I don't know if you're just holding on or. But then that song and her performance, I was blown away.
I know, dude. That was different level.
Same thing during COVID when Eric Church came out. I've always liked Eric Church, but same. I've never been a super fan.
Same.
And then he did Stick That in Your Country song, and I was just like, holy shitballs.
That's damn rock and roll.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It made me go back and listen to all of his stuff all over again.
Right.
Appreciate
really? Hunt?
Yeah, Sam Hunt. Dude, I don't know why I couldn't remember his last name. Like, everyone was on this swinging from his nuts, and I'm like, dude, he's all right. He's cool. And then I listened to Behind the Pines and was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Whole new passion for him again.
Yeah, maybe I should give that a listen. I've never been like, huge into Sam Hunt.
Yeah.
But give them a shot. Because, I mean, things change and you're,
sure. You
know, just like your palate does, your taste buds change.
Well,
right?
I was driving to San Diego and I heard the song Vacation that he did off Behind the Pines. It's the simplest fucking song you've ever heard. We'll listen to it on the way back.
Yeah.
And you'll just be like, dude, that's like, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
It's so simple. But
you know,
it's got a hook.
Riley Green, I'm going to put Riley Green in that too.
Beautiful.
Yeah. He just dropped a song. God, I can't remember what it's called, but it's about a homeless guy and like his like a conversational between him and like a businessman, and it's like, oh my gosh, he wrote it by himself.
He did the work, dude.
Holy shit!
So I had him pre-COVID,
yeah,
and then 2 years later, on Top of the World.
Yep,
like I got him when I should have got him.
Yep,
because it never's going to happen again. Not at that level. You have to just do something really big to get him out.
For sure.
Sort of thing. I mean, he's got to sell 3,000-4,000 tickets for it to make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good for him. Well, dude, this has been fun. I appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It's so good to see you.
Tell people how to find you online.
Instagram, TikTok, Jason Cross Official. On Facebook, I think it's Jason Cross Music. And OnlyFans. I'm just kidding.
Back to the toes.
You're going to want to subscribe.
I think your screen name on that is Speedo 1234 or something. Or Speedo 69. That's what it is. Speedo 69.
Yeah, cheap menu too. Nothing too pricey on there, so doesn't take much.
Thanks again, dude.
Yeah, thanks, brother.